Then thus replied high-born Odysseus, "Eumaeus, you have deeply stirred the heart within my breast, telling these tales of all the troubles you have borne. Yet, side by side with evil, Zeus surely gave you good, since at the end of all your toils you reached the house of a kind man, who furnishes you food and drink in plenty. A comfortable life you lead, but I come here a wanderer through many cities." So they conversed together. Then lay and slept a little while, not long, for soon came bright-throned dawn. Meantime, approaching shore, the comrades of Telemachus slackened their sail, hastily lowered the mast, and with their oars rowed the vessel to her moorings. Here they cast anchor and made fast the cables, and going forth themselves upon the shore, prepared their dinner and mixed the sparkling wine. Then, after they had stayed desire for food and drink, discreet Telemachus was first to speak. "Sail the black-hulled ship, my men, straight to the town. I go to the fields and herdsmen. At evening, after looking at the farm, I too will come to town. Tomorrow I will make you payment for your voyage by a bounteous feast of meat and pleasant wine." Then up spoke godlike Theoclymenus. "Where shall I go, my child? To whose house come of all the men who rule in rocky Ithaca? Or shall I go directly to your mother's house and yours?" Then answered him discreet Telemachus, "At any other time I would bid you come to us, because we have no lack of means of welcome. But for yourself it would be somewhat dreary now. I shall be gone, and my mother will not see you, for she is not often in the same room with the suitors, but in an upper chamber far away she tends her loom. But I will name another man to whom you well might go, Eurymachus, the illustrious son of skillful Polybus, whom nowadays the men of Ithaca look upon as a god, for he is certainly the chief man here. He much desires to wed my mother and obtain the honors of Odysseus. Nevertheless, Olympian Zeus, who dwells in the clear sky, knows whether before the wedding he will meet a day of ill." Even as he spoke, upon his right there flew a bird, a hawk, Apollo's speedy messenger. With his claws he tore the dove he held and scattered down its feathers to the ground, midway between the ship and Telemachus himself. Then Theoclymenus, calling Telemachus aside from his companions, held fast his hand and spoke, and thus addressed him, "Telemachus, not without God's warrant flew this bird upon our right. I knew him at a glance to be a bird of omen. There is no house in Ithaca more kingly than your own, and you shall always be the rulers here." Then answered him discreet Telemachus, "Ah, stranger, would these words of yours might be fulfilled. Soon should you know my kindness and many a gift from me, and every man you met would call you blessed." Then turning to Piraeus, his good comrade, "Piraeus, son of Clytius, you always do my bidding best, of all the men who followed me to Pylos. So, take this stranger to your home, and treat him kindly, and show him honor till the time that I shall come." Then answered him Piraeus, the famous spearman, "Telemachus, though you stay long, I still will entertain him. No lack of welcome shall there be." So saying, Piraeus went aboard the ship, and called the crew to come on board and loose the cables. Quickly they came and took their places at the pins. Telemachus, however, bound to his feet his beautiful sandals and took his ponderous spear, tipped with sharp bronze, from the ship's deck. The sailors loosed the cables, and thrusting off the ship, sailed to the town as they were ordered by Telemachus, son of princely Odysseus. But him, meanwhile, his feet bore swiftly onward, until he reached the yard where were the countless swine with whom the trusty swineherd lodged, still faithful to his master.